expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Generation to generation. Welcome to Generations Talk Radio. I am your host, Sharon Clark, owner of Home Helpers. We are here every Wednesday, Embracing Aging, live at 9 a.m. right here on KCNR 1460. If you want to give us a call today during the show with questions or comments, feel free to do so at 605-4567, or you can join us in the chat room at KCNR1460.com. You can also follow us on Facebook at Generations Talk Radio if you're interested in the upcoming guests. I always post that a day or two before. And also, we are on Instagram for Generations Talk Radio, so feel free to follow us on any of those social medias. My guests this morning are from Connected Living, and I have with me Jennifer Powell, the Executive Director. Good morning, Jennifer.
Good morning, Sharon.
And Stacey Wadley, Senior Director of Operations.
That's right. Good morning.
I got the titles correct. Yes,
ma'am.
Okay, good. So this Connected Living was formerly known as the Shasta Senior Nutrition Program and Golden Umbrella. So we're still trying to educate people, A, on all the programs, B, on the name change, C, what the community can do to get more involved and help you all bringing these programs to seniors. So that's kind of what we want to chat about today, because I was on the website and there's a lot available for seniors and their families.
Right. Mm-hmm. We want to make it clear that we did not lose any programs with the merger. So every program that Golden Umbrella and Shasta Senior Nutrition had are still around.
That's great.
With our merger, we actually are potentially going to expand our services into other counties.
Now, Jennifer, tell us a little bit about when you came on board. What's your experience? What brought you to the position here?
Sure. So I worked for Mercy Foundation North back in 2003, and that is a works of the Sisters of Mercy. At that time, it was Catholic Healthcare West,
mm-hmm.
and worked there for several years. And actually, the first grant I was involved with in that position was for Shasta Senior Nutrition Program. It was a McConnell Foundation grant for the kitchen up in Burney. So that's when SSNP was first on my radar. And then, so I worked at Mercy for several years, left and did some other things in the community. And then in 2015, I rejoined Shasta Senior Nutrition. At that time, their director was retiring. So I was able to shadow her for about 6 months when Debbie McClung retired.
And I remember Debbie. Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I worked with her a little bit.
Mm-hmm. So that's the story.
And so now, and the name change happened when and what was the reason for that?
Sure. We merged in July of 2017. Essentially, Golden Umbrella and Shasta Senior Nutrition Program served many of the same people, the same clients in the community, just at different stages in their lives. And actually, Golden Umbrella and Shasta Senior Nutrition shared the same board, even.
Okay.
So as resources become tighter, and we also saw that we're serving a lot of the same population, it just made sense to merge. It was quite a process,
mm-hmm.
as you can imagine, mm-hmm. but it took about a year to merge formally. But now that we have, I think we're more coordinated. I think maybe the community, once we get over the hump of our new name, I think it makes a lot more sense for the community that there's one place to call in terms of senior services in Shasta County for those that are perhaps lower income.
Mm-hmm. And at times, were they duplicating some of the things of each other?
No, there was never duplication. It was more, the benefit of merging is that it's more seamless.
Okay.
The referral structure. Mm-hmm. So someone could be needing a service where they're coming to a congregate meal at Shasta Senior Nutrition Program, and then perhaps that same client became more needy and need to have in-home services. Before, that was dependent on us making a phone call,
okay,
doing referral.
Going to the building
to
next
another.
Door.
Exactly. Right. Mm-hmm. And now it's just shooting an email over and saying, okay, so-and-so is ready for your
this.
Program.
Right.
Go ahead and reach out.
And then all of the staff, too, are experts on everything now.
Well, we're trying.
We're getting
there. We're going to go that far. And Stacey, what is your role day-to-day? How are you involved in all of this?
Well, I am fairly new to the organization. I've been there about 4 months, and I am the Senior Director of Operations, and so I oversee the, I guess you would say formerly the Shasta Senior Nutrition Program.
Okay.
So That's the food bank for the North State, as well as the transportation for seniors and people with disabilities, and then also the we also have an exercise program and congregate meals as well, mm-hmm. at four different sites.
And Meals on Wheels is there also?
Yes, I'm
okay.
sorry.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, so that's kind of your wheelhouse right now, is that
yeah.
there are those programs.
Yeah.
And how are, as far as the Meals on Wheels go, are we still taking on new people? I know there was a waiting list sometimes. Is that open now? Is there room for more people to come on board with that?
Well, you know, we continue to have a waiting list. Mm-hmm. The need is out there, that's mm-hmm. for sure. We try to prioritize people based on the ones with the most severe needs mm-hmm. at times. If mm-hmm. someone comes out of the hospital and they're terminally ill and completely without services, they get put, you know, to the mm-hmm. top. We continue to try to be creative mm-hmm. with some ways that we can get help to people. So mostly I would encourage people to call, mm-hmm. and we can give out our phone number, but to call and talk with our director or our manager of that program, Chrissy, who can help with getting people signed up for the program and also helping to steer them in ways that they may not realize that there are other resources available to
mm-hmm.
them,
mm-hmm.
And then getting them on the waiting list and also finding other ways that we might be able to help them that are similar to a meal delivery, but they may be less frequent.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad you mentioned volunteerism or how people could be involved. So, for instance, our Meals on Wheels up in the Burney Basin in the Intermountain area, completely delivered by volunteers. So in that area, we don't have any paid staff that deliver meals on a daily basis for Meals on Wheels. Down here in the Valley, we have paid staff, but if we had more volunteer drivers available to drive for Meals on Wheels, we could serve more meals, and it would reduce the wait list.
That
would be an opportunity.
You know, and I'll tell you, just in you know, my experience, many people have been found from a fall or a medical issue by the Meals on Wheel driver
mm-hmm.
because they will make sure that the meal gets passed on to the person. They
Absolutely.
Knock on the door. They make sure they make contact. So a lot of families, I know, that in my experience, have utilized this as kind of a daily check-in, too,
yes.
because that driver ends up knowing the routine. Mr. Smith is always awake and answering the door. What's going on? He wasn't up this morning.
And they
right.
do know that. The
yeah.
Meals on Wheels drivers could write a book of interesting stories.
Yeah, yeah.
yeah.
I mean, so... And I mean, I know that, you know, a lot, and we'll talk more about the nutrition programs that you guys offer, but, you know, again, in being in the home care industry, I know that nutrition is a huge factor when people get older. I mean, a lot of women cooked for large families don't want to make food for themselves anymore. There are men actually that never learn to cook. I've had a few of them. And so, you know, they get older, they're a widower, and they are not eating healthy, and this ends up being a medical issue, and hospitalizations occur, they're taking medications without a proper diet, you've got, you know, diabetes coming on, you know, they're not doing meal planning properly for that. So this is what my staff deal with too, and I think families can be really aware of double checking when they go to see their loved ones, what is their food freshness, are meals being prepared? You know, if you have one spouse caring for another one, sometimes the spouse that is so drained that they're not making healthy meals, so this other spouse isn't eating healthy. So it's there's a lot of dynamics to that, I'm sure you guys experience.
Well, and you know, something from where I sit as executive director is the legal and the implications that we are trying to push forward Meals on Wheels or a similar home-delivered meal as legislation so that people can have it prescribed to them by their physician.
Oh, my gosh, that would be amazing.
And then have it covered
mm-hmm.
by a medical plan,
mm-hmm.
for example, because to your point, you know, reducing readmissions mm-hmm. after a hospital stay or preventing a hospital stay at all, nutrition is a key part of that.
It is, and even from the, whether it's a humanity or ethical side, from the taxpayer burden of what is a hospital stay cost versus having healthy meals delivered so people can stay healthy and, you know, enjoy a better quality of life. So.
And there's also the whole mental health aspect of it and the quality of life aspect
mm-hmm.
of it that people, you know, we often focus on the physical aspect. But if someone's not eating properly, they're not feeling well.
Mm-hmm.
They're not feeling like going out and being sociable or having a quality of life.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's an important key.
That's
as well.
A good point. And or if there's a dementia going on, that
mm-hmm.
certainly that's going to escalate
mm-hmm.
any medical issue that someone has.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And there's also a, you know, we're trying to make available a program where, you know, if someone is able to make usually our Meals on Wheels is done on a donation basis. And the cost of a meal, I believe we figured was $8.50.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, sometimes people have that And they would be more than happy to pay for that if they can have something nutritious brought to them, mm-hmm, you know. Mm-hmm. And so that's something that we're trying to explore and get the word out there that people are, that that's an option that people
right,
can do.
Right, so it's
well.
Not just the lower income side. It could be people that have the financial means that just want a home delivery.
Sure.
Absolutely.
Sure.
Well, we're going to take a short break real quick, and we have much more to talk about. We have adult day programs. We have volunteer opportunities. We have transportation. There's lunch being served there every day. So we're going to talk way more about all the programs available at Connected Living. Stay tuned for more Generations Talk Radio. We'll be right back.
I'm Dr. Kara Tennant with CARE Animal Hospital, and I'm inviting you to join me on the Carl and Linda Morning Show. We will be discussing all of Reading's local pet needs and how to keep your pet happy, healthy, and safe. CARE Animal Hospital is a local veterinary clinic located on the corner of Hilltop Drive and Lake Boulevard. Make sure your best friend has the best possible care today.
Join Dr. Kara Tennant on Friday morning, April 20th, from 8 to 9 on Free Fire Radio here on AM 1460 KCNR.
Have you found yourself stranded with a dead battery and need a jump? Instead of calling that expensive tow truck, call Reading Yellow Cab and they'll do it for only $20. Running 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every day of the year, Reading Yellow Cab will cater to the needs of your parents, seniors, or children who need to travel throughout the city and county no matter the hour. Call Reading Yellow Cab and they'll do your shopping, give rides to the hospital, airport, hotel, and many other destinations. Call them at 222-1234.
Yeah, he'll stop. I have the right-of-way. Or will he? Alan Gordon here, Coachmaster Collision Repair. Don't count on it. He or she might be texting, changing the station on the radio, or breaking up a fight in the back seat. Don't take that chance. Lives are at stake. Distracted driving is a danger to us all. You can be proactive in preventing an accident. There's not much you can do when you're sitting in your car and they back into your door. If this happens to you, come see us. We're located at the south end of East Side Road just before Gervan. With your claim number, we can handle your entire claim process. Our quality repairs and friendly service will have you recommending Coachmaster to all your friends and family. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Coachmaster Collision Repair continues to be the leader in the North State for advanced technology in the collision repair industry, serving the Reading community since 1969. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
This is Terry Oxley, pastor of True Life Church in Bella Vista. Our country and the world has become filled with turmoil, violence, hatred, and moral corruption, which will get worse. But there is good news. What you see happening is temporary, as foretold in the Bible. This world's decay reveals the result of a world who rejects God and His salvation. However, for those who receive the free gift of God through Jesus Christ, will receive eternal life in heaven's paradise. The choice is yours. Choose wisely. Choose Jesus. If you're looking for a no-nonsense church that's not afraid to talk about current issues and yet teaches the Bible, I invite you to be our guest. Our Sunday services are at 10 a.m. We are located on Deschutes Road, one block south of Highway 299 in Bella Vista. You can visit our website at TrueLifeReading.com. We hope to see you soon, and remember, it's worth the ride.
Welcome back to Generations Talk Radio. I am your host, Sharon Clark, owner of Home Helpers. Thanks for joining us today. If you want to jump in the chat room at KCNR1460.com with questions or comments, feel free to do so, or you can give us a call at 605-4567. My guests this morning are from Connected Living, Jennifer Powell, the Executive Director, and Stacy Wadley, the Senior Director of Operations. And last segment, we were talking about Meals on Wheels and getting the food out to folks that can't make it to the location to get extra help with meals. Stacy, tell us more about, because there is it 7 days a week or 5 days a week? There's a lunch there. What are the details on that?
Yeah, we have congregate meals, so meals that are at a place where people can congregate mm-hmm. and eat together, which is great because people enjoy that. They do sometimes at some places they gather and play games. Other times they, a lot of card games and there's bingo and things like mm-hmm. that sometimes people will, they just do on their own, mm-hmm. or groups will get together to do that, which is nice because then they have the, they're getting the nutrition part as well as the socialization
mm-hmm.
part.
Mm-hmm.
But we have four locations where we do that at our facility at, 200 Mercy or 100 Mercy Oaks Drive. We have a daily lunch, that's a donation based, whatever people are, able to pay is welcome. And, that's at all four of our locations.
Mm-hmm.
The other one is at the First Baptist Church in Shasta Lake City, and then the Frontier Senior Center in Anderson, and then the Tri-Counties Community Network in Burney. So at all four of those places, 5 days a week, we do
Monday through Friday.
Monday
okay.
through Friday, mm-hmm. yeah, we do meals for seniors.
And what are the times on that?
It's 11.
Folks usually show up between 11 and 1 o'clock.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know we've had some staff where the family's like, please get mom out. We need to get her involved in some more activities. We want her. And we've taken our clients there for the lunches and just so that they can have that interaction and kind of, and there's been some live music at times and different activities. And I mean, it's been very well received.
Yeah.
Well, mm-hmm. we're trying to make an effort to address the menu as well, to make it a little more diverse,
mm-hmm.
you know, trying to incorporate more foods, like Mexican food, for example, mm-hmm. but obviously keeping at a level where it's not really spicy mm-hmm. and things of that nature, but just trying to mix our menu up. We've also done some surveys with the seniors to say, what kind of foods would you like?
Mm-hmm.
Or would you like to try something new? What would that be? And that's been pretty successful, mm-hmm. actually. And it's the same food that the folks on Meals on Wheels would be receiving
right.
as well.
I was going to ask that because I think yeah. they're kind of that yeah. way you're not it's cooking a bunch of different stuff.
Yeah.
yeah. And we do about 3,000, between about 3,200 meals a month between our four locations.
Okay, I was going to ask.
And then this, with the Meals on Wheels, it's about another 4,000, mm-hmm. I think, a month meals. So each month, maybe 7,000 meals.
Mm-hmm. Pretty incredible.
Yeah, yeah. So for people that, so that the congregate meals are really for people that are still driving,
mm-hmm. or have transportation there. They don't need to drive.
Yeah. So you guys. Yeah. So we'll talk about that too, because they could get a ride there if they needed it. And then what about the food bank? How? What is the scoop on that?
Well, the food bank has a variety of different distributions, is what they mm-hmm. call them. And I believe on our website we have an updated monthly list of that, and you can also call and get that information. We have programs that are brown bag programs that are distributions that are specific to seniors,
mm-hmm.
distributions that are for anyone that's low income. We go out to 9 distribution sites in the county. We just opened up a new one at Shasta Community Clinic that addresses different populations that may actually provide food to people that may be more transient in nature.
Mm-hmm.
And that's we've only done that one now 2 weeks,
mm-hmm.
and we do it once a month. And they pretty much stick to those dates consistently mm-hmm. year after year because people count on them.
Right.
But they go up, for instance, they go up to Burney, they go up to Round Mountain once a month. They're considering going to Fall River as well, and they bring a giant truck full of food, and people are already pre-qualified based on income or need,
mm-hmm.
And people receive, you know, brown bags of food or boxes or however it works.
I mean, for you being here 3 months, you're very well versed on all these programs, I have to say, right?
You've been baptism by yeah. fire.
I drink from the fire hose.
Yeah.
No, it's, you know what? It's the food bank is, well, all of the programs are really well, they're developed and mm-hmm. they've been around for a long time, mm-hmm. and so it's not too hard to get a grasp on them.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes with the food bank, there's a variety of different grant funding sources mm-hmm. that come. But I just have to say about the food bank is that it is really stunning. We actually have 2 paid staff that run the entire
wow.
food bank.
And for all those locations.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, in terms of actually running the food bank,
gotcha,
which
part.
Is
okay.
here in Reading, because we're the designated food bank for the North State. And we every single day we have volunteers that drive our trucks to you know, Trader Joe's and...
I was going to ask, so are they... How do you get all these donations? Or
So we're yeah. a member of Feeding America, and that's obviously a nationwide program. So we have, by virtue of being a member of Feeding America, we get food from Safeway, Costco, Trader Joe's, Holiday, Target even. So
Walmart.
Oftentimes, it's food products, clearly, but also sometimes there's incidentals as well. Like, so after a holiday, for instance,
mm-hmm.
we might have some more seasonal items mm-hmm. that, you know, aren't typical in a commodity distribution.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, commodities today are not the commodities 40 years ago or what I was familiar with as a young person. The commodities today, many of them are organic. We try to get some locally grown items, especially with our growing network with our farmers markets, mm-hmm. that folks that can't sell their fresh fruit or vegetables can bring it to our site, and we can share it with seniors.
Yeah, if it's going to go bad before
exactly.
the next time they can get
yep.
out there and that
yep.
kind of thing.
Yep.
That's great because, again, this nutrition site is so needed with our seniors, and that's and so you guys aren't purchasing anything. It's all just donations.
We do purchase food, but we receive funding for that.
Okay.
So because of a grant fund or a different state program, mm-hmm. we're able to purchase some food items that wouldn't to kind of fill the gaps mm-hmm. of what's been donated.
They may be main things like they may be meat or cheese or milk, things like mm-hmm. that will be the centerpiece that a food box will be built around.
There's the food bank funding really focuses on California grown. So most of our milk, well, all of our milk, we use Producer's Dairy, mm-hmm. and they're a California-based dairy company. And so you can rest assured that the dairy products are from our own state.
It's nice and fresh. And
mm-hmm.
and so really on the food side, if people are listening and they have a loved one who is challenged in this area, or they have a neighbor who's, let's say, low income, they don't think that person's eating right, they really should just give you guys a call. Then you can kind of go over what this person's needs are, if there's family available, what makes sense, what program for them to really be on.
And where the nearest distribution site
right.
is for that
mm-hmm.
person.
Mm-hmm.
We have, oh, I'm sorry.
No, as because people, let's say a senior was homebound and could come to a distribution site, there are ways to designate someone to pick it up for them.
Okay.
And these things are really important to people. We've had some stories come where, there was a man that had had a serious health incident while he was picking up his food and would not go to the hospital until because they said, well, we can't bring your food with us in the ambulance. He said, then I'm not going in the
oh,
ambulance.
Oh, gosh. Mm-hmm.
And so we arranged to bring the food to him.
Mm-hmm.
But these people really rely on it. So it's pretty serious and pretty important stuff. And I'm proud that we do it.
Well, I know, and we're dealing with a lot of folks that have a limited income, and there's, it's Social Security.
Yeah.
And, good food is expensive, and even the preparation side of it, when we're going back to Meals on Wheels, sometimes they're, for whatever reason, I mean, I've had people, come home with a walker with huge balance issues, and they can't prepare anything.
Or carry a grocery bag.
Right. And mm-hmm. so it's like, I mean, even they're trying to like balance a plate and, and so oftentimes, this, even if it's a temporary basis, the Meals on Wheels to get them through a difficult time. And in some of the outlying areas, you do some frozen stuff, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
We've been able to be more creative in
mm-hmm.
that way. And so there may be some people that, because we have the ability now to package the meals. And so if we have a meal that has been freshly prepared that day, and we have additional ones that have not been used, they will literally package them up and freeze them right there. And then we can arrange to have a friend or family member come and pick up, 2 weeks' worth
mm-hmm.
at a time. And it's really been helpful for people.
And I will say on the Meals on Wheels, these are big portions.
Yeah.
I mean, I've literally had people that get it. So let's say they want this person to have, maybe the senior can have do breakfast on their own. They get Meals on Wheels between 11 and 1 or 2. They eat part of it, and then we come and do dinner, and we'll take whatever's left, make a side dish, a fresh salad or something, and finish it off. I mean, it's a lot of food.
Yeah, it's designed to be one-third of the recommended daily
mm-hmm.
allowance. So it is a fair amount of food,
mm-hmm.
but it's not it's just designed to be healthy
mm-hmm.
and provide the calories that they need.
Yeah, I know we would not want to eat some of this because there's a lot of carbs in there. But when you are a senior, the calories count, and you do want to have enough calories in your diet. It's a completely
right.
different aging process than what we're dealing with. But
yeah.
Well, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to move on to, I want to talk about the adult day programs, more of the other side, formerly the Golden Umbrella side, caregiving registry, foster grandparent programs, and there's a ton more volunteer opportunities too, so we want to highlight all of that stuff. So we'll take a short break and come right back with more Generations Talk Radio. Stay tuned.
Astronaut Bob the Drop here. There's been a lot of talk about water found on Mars. Why would you go all the way to Mars for water when we have the best tasting water at Mount Shasta? It comes from our protected springs and is delivered right to your door.
Great landing, Bob.
Hey, where are you going with that? Those Martians are stealing my water. Guess we have some new customers. And anyone can get Mount Shasta spring water if they call us at 1-800-922-6227.
Pure and simple. Naturally, the best. Mount Shasta spring water.
When you're looking to add a pet to your family, Haven Humane Society is a place to start. Hi, this is Mark from Haven to tell you that shelter pets make the best pets. With kittens, puppies, dogs, cats, bunnies, guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, birds, and more, Haven has a pet that is the right fit for your family. We also provide education, training, spaying and neutering, dog licensing, and so much more. If you're looking for a way to help, our amazing volunteers have fun with the animals while helping us to save lives. For more information, call 241-1653 or visit havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow our progress as we work towards a day with no more homeless pets in the North State.
Hi, this is Sharon Clark, owner of Home Helpers. Join me at 9 a.m. every Wednesday for Generations Talk Radio, right here on KCNR 1460. Topics will include resources and businesses that you need to know about. We will talk money, travel, healthcare, and more. Embrace aging. Listen to Generations Talk Radio, Wednesdays at 9 a.m. here on KCNR 1460. Archive shows at generationstalkradio.com.
KCNR Free Fire Radio, your town hall of the airwaves, is ground zero for the renaissance of downtown Reading. Our state-of-the-art on-air studio is under construction right now, so you might hear a bit of hammering in the background. We're upgrading our sound and control systems, so you may occasionally hear a little glitch, but bear with us, we will keep it to a minimum. And we will be expanding our presence with an FM channel and an exciting launch into video on YouTube Live. KCNR, Free Fire Radio. Join in the conversation.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
The value of banking local comes in being able to walk into the lobby, see the president, and be called by your first name.
I'm Jeff Fink, president and CEO of Cornerstone Community Bank, and I invite you to stop by our new downtown Reading branch located at 1845 California Street, one block south of Jack's Grill. Or visit us online at bankcornerstone.com. Our team is ready to spoil you with personalized service.
Cornerstone Community Bank, we invite you to experience how we are moving local dreams forward.
Welcome back to Generations Talk Radio with Sharon Clark. I'm your host, and we are here every Wednesday, live at 9, Embracing Aging. My guests this morning are Jennifer Powell, the Executive Director of Connected Living, and Stacey Wadley, the Senior Director of Operations. And we've been talking about the programs there. And for those of you who are still getting used to the name change, formerly this was Golden Umbrella and Shasta Senior Nutrition Center. Now we are combining all those services under one roof, so to speak, one program, so to speak, called Connected Living. So we're all still in the community getting used to this new name, and we want to be sure that everybody knows all the programs are still there, how they're working, and who's eligible and all of that. So we've been kind of chatting about all that this morning. So, Jennifer, you kind of wanted to chat about the transportation arm of what you guys do for seniors.
Yes.
And disabled.
Sharon, I haven't said it already, but thank you for inviting us.
Oh, you're welcome.
For being here. I really appreciate it. Transportation. As we all know, we're a relatively large county, and in terms of public transportation, if you don't drive, we do have it. That's RABA, and then the demand response arm of RABA, Reading Area Bus Authority, which is fantastic, and they're a good partner of ours. But they operate primarily on a fixed route, right, with bus stops, mm-hmm. of course. And then demand response is another program, which is fantastic. But sometimes you have to apply and get on the roll, so to speak, mm-hmm. to become eligible for that program. So we offer transportation funded by two different streams. The first stream is through Shasta Regional Transportation Agency. And what that allows us to do is to offer transportation services for those who don't live near, which means a half a mile from a fixed route for RABA. So that obviously covers a lot of the more rural areas mm-hmm. of Shasta County. Mm-hmm. We also have funding So that does cost, but it costs $2 a one-way ride. So potentially it's $4 round trip.
Mm-hmm.
My short story, my grandmother lived in Old Shasta. It was not uncommon that she would pay $90 round trip for a taxi. Because obviously taxi services are not typically for
right.
living in a rural
right,
area.
Right.
Okay. So then our other funding stream is through the Older Adult Americans Act, and that funding is senior specific, and that those routes are donation based. So people can donate what they can, you know, whatever they can afford is appreciated. So depending on where you live and how we coordinate it on the back end would determine whether or not you would have to pay $2 a trip or if it was donation based.
And on the donation based one, do they still need to live the half a mile from a route?
No.
Okay.
That's a different funding source.
Okay.
That's not from Shasta Regional Transportation Agency, so therefore we have a little more flexibility.
Okay.
I know it sounds confusing on the public side of that, so my message I want to get across is if you need transportation, give us a call. We'll figure it out on our end, you know, where you live, how mm-hmm. we could get there, and we'll try to work something out. But often we do refer to RABA and demand response, and they cross-refer to us. So we have a very good working symbiotic relationship mm-hmm, mm-hmm. to try to serve the community.
And on the demand response side, and you may not know this, I thought I was helping a lady do that, and did the doctor need to sign off on something?
That might be the case.
Okay. Yeah, I think there was a little bit of a step there on that one. But I had a gal that I went out to see who moved to Anderson from Southern California and off of a dirt road, who didn't drive, who had dialysis in Reading 3 days a week. You know, and we have a two-hour minimum, so she would have to pay 2 hours for us to drive her in. And then she sits there for 3 or 4 hours getting dialysis and then 2 hours to drive her back. And I just right off the bat said, this is not going to be financially effective for you. This is just, you know, and I had never really worked with demand response, but this lady was new. And I was like, well, let me make some calls. So I get the number. And so I kind of walked her through it. But yeah, she, believe it or not, they would pick her up. And I thought she might be too far out, but they were able to get her. So that was great.
We're actually working right now to try to start a 1 day a week service to French Gulch. So we go out there.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's hard on these seniors that, you know, choose to live in these, you know, rural areas where there's not enough services available. And it's tough to hire staff to do it there. I mean, I get asked this all the time, why we don't service Bernie. But it's hard for me to keep an eye on the staff, train the staff. If someone calls in sick, who's going to go? Mm-hmm. And I think so. It's the snow comes. We've got kids that are schlepping up I-5 to go see their parents in Weed.
And sometimes they don't have an option, though,
yeah.
in terms of the seniors. That
right.
may be their only option
Correct.
Or place to live.
Correct.
Well, and I think that goes back to the very purpose why Dignity Health Connected Living exists is really to help seniors who want to stay in their homes,
mm-hmm.
whether that's with nutrition or transportation or other medical care coordination, whatever we can do to help folks stay in their home as long as possible, we're going to try
mm-hmm.
to coordinate that.
And I think, you know, when I've talked with, you know, the adult kids, mom, they're moving mom and dad here, or mom and dad have had some medical issue, you know, it's great for them to come out and chat with you guys and learn about all the services that are there. I mean, this is the reason I do this show, but before the crisis, let's know
yes.
what's available to us. Maybe mom has a new dementia diagnosis. Maybe she doesn't need an adult day program yet, but let's know what's available to us so we can be keeping an eye on how our parents are doing or our loved ones are doing before there's a fall. Dad's hips fractured. We don't even realize how bad mom is, and she can't be left alone. And now the kids are trying to work and figure out care. You know, and sometimes that stuff does happen even if you have the knowledge, but at least you have the knowledge to make the best decisions for your loved ones and use our local resources.
I'm glad you brought that up, Sharon, because do you work with your clients on five wishes or...
I've heard of it. Mm-hmm.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
all right. Mm-hmm. The five wishes, people can Google it.
Right.
But essentially, it's a free resource that helps start
in the
conversation.
Planning, right.
Right, yeah.
Because, I mean, I will say this comes up a lot on my show, is having these kinds of discussions about what your parents want and getting them to look into these programs. It's really hard. This generation of seniors is very private. They don't want to share a lot. The children are trying to be respectful of that. But, you know, I always say it will be your problem. if you're the child, I mean, you are going to be called if there's an ER visit and something's going on. So to have that, I call it the 70-40 rule when you turn 40 or your parent turns 70, to try to start having the conversation about, and even say, I heard this gal on the radio talking about families and these things that can happen. And gosh, I would feel so bad, mom and dad, if I didn't know what you wanted. It would break my heart to think I was making the wrong decision. Please don't put me in that position. Please share with me, you know, because nobody wants to burden their children. They think they're protecting their children, I think, sometimes.
Absolutely.
And they don't really. So sometimes if the kids kind of come at it in a different way to start that conversation, but and having that written down and having clear direction through all of these programs we're talking about is much better for the kids. They have power. They have confidence in what they're saying and doing. And they've had all those conversations.
Right.
Yeah. So let's talk. So that transportation side,
sure.
If they need transportation, they should call. And if they need, if RAB is a better fit or demand response is a better fit, you'll kind of help direct it there.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I want to talk about adult day because I see a lot of one spouse caring for the other one with some type of dementia and being run down and being frustrated and their own medical issues are taking place. And let's talk a little bit about how that program might assist that caregiving spouse, or let's say you're a loved one taking care of your mom or your mom and you work.
Mm-hmm. Right. Exactly. Yeah. We have a lot of that. So we have adult day services and what that consists of on site. So these programs are on site at 200 Mercy Oaks. That's the adult day healthcare and then the adult day program. And the difference being the healthcare.
Mm-hmm.
So adult day program would be just like you were saying, Sharon, for those who might be a caregiver and need some respite or are watching out for mom and dad in the early morning, or maybe they stay the night and they live with their parent, but then they go to work during the day.
Mm-hmm.
So we would be a good option for that. So where folks are being, they have interactions, it's social. We do a lot of fun stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then again, the adult day healthcare is much more clinical in nature. There are occupational therapists, physical therapists, speech therapists. There's RNs on site. And not everybody needs every service,
mm-hmm.
but we are there to provide it if it's needed.
And what are the hours of those programs?
We open our doors at 8, and we close. Most of the participants are gone by 2 because they still have transportation after that.
Mm-hmm.
So I would, in general terms, 8 to 2. At this point, we are considering expanding our programs. It's unfortunately always
about
are you going to how are you going to get that off
yeah.
the ground. But I think there is a demonstrated need in our community, and we all know that the senior population is growing in Shasta County.
Mm-hmm.
The percentage of seniors, because we're affordable compared to other areas in the state, for numerous different reasons.
Correct.
So, the need for what we do and certainly for your programs too, Sharon, is just going to be growing.
And so on the medical side, would that be like they want help? Like my dad has Parkinson's and he needs, so they it's kind of an adult day program, but it has the medical component to it.
Right.
Are they still doing activities?
Someone's recuperating from a hospital stay or
we just don't want them left home alone, but they could get out and come there
right.
and just
or
be monitored.
Or they have like diabetes or some sort of chronic illness that needs some sort of monitoring on a daily basis, but not all of our participants come every day either. We do a mixture of different funding sources. So again, rather than sit here and rattle off all the different scenarios, it's probably best just to call us and we'll try to figure out a way to work with the funding, what you have as a senior.
So on the medical side, let's say the daughter or the caregiving spouse just needs a couple days a week off, but there's medical issues that would prevent them from being able to take that time. Maybe my staff couldn't even do it because we're not medical. Mm-hmm. If she dropped this person off, he has nitrogen, he has heart issues, he has Parkinson's or whatever and needs to be monitored. That would be a great kind of solution for someone like that.
It's a great
solution. Yeah, I didn't know about that one. But this is so great for me because I'm learning all kinds of stuff that I have a big mouth and I'm on the air all the time and I talk to a lot of people. And so when
Bob,
let's talk about the support group too. Yeah.
Okay. So we do have an Alzheimer's and dementia disease caregivers support group. It is held on site at 200 Mercy Oaks. It's the second Tuesday of the month, and it starts at 6 p.m. For this and most of our programs. But this specific line to call for this caregiver support group is 226 3004, and all of our programs are on our website.
And so I really encourage people, if you're the family member or the caregiving spouse of somebody with dementia or Alzheimer's, these groups are amazing. These people laugh at stuff, connect with each other, realize they're not alone. You can literally lose so much of yourself when you're caring for somebody with a dementia. And I just had Lorene from Willow Springs anymore, Oakmont, on a couple weeks ago, talking about how important that camaraderie is to come together and share ideas and feel like you're not alone.
Exactly.
So that's what that's for. Well, we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to kind of wrap things up. We have a few more things we want to talk about. If you want to get involved and help out there, we have the Senior Corps we're going to talk about and a new program called Active Choices. So we'll talk about those right after this. Stay tuned.
Honey, can't you remember? We played all the parts.
Oliver, the award-winning musical adaptation of the classic Dickens novel, springs to life at the Cascade Theatre with some of the most memorable characters and songs ever to hit the stage. April 19th to the 22nd and 26th to the 29th. Tickets on sale now at the Cascade box office by calling 243-8877 and online at cascadetheatre.org.
The Red Bluff Roundup is on. April 20th, 21st, and 22nd. Get your tickets now. $250,000 is up for grabs for 600 of the toughest cowboys and cowgirls. It's the biggest three-day rodeo in the country. Tickets are on sale now, so grab up the good seats while you can. It's consistent action with bucking horses, bulls, barrel racing, roping, wild pony riding, and more. Friday is family night, brought to you by Food Max and Tri-Counties Bank. Gates open at 5, rodeo at 7. And an after party with live music. Saturday is Wells Fargo Bank and Red Bluff Dodge Day. Gates open at 12, rodeo at 2:30. And an evening concert by country music stars Morgan Wallen and Chris Lee. Sunday is Haleakala and Dignity Health St. Elizabeth Hospital Tough Enough to Wear Pink Day. Gates open at 12, rodeo at 1:30. Get your tickets now at the Red Bluff office or online at redbluffroundup.com.
This is Carl on the Bot, and there's only one place you will find a new Sleep Number dual temp layer bed. That's right, Sleep Number in Redding. Be sure to go in and see them in a Target shopping center next to the vitamin shop. My Sleep Number is 40 and I feel great.
Right now they're making room, so go in and receive huge savings on all Sleep Number memory foam and I-Series bed sets. My Sleep Number is 55. Go find yours today. Sleep Number in the Target Center next to the vitamin shop.
Hey, high school sophomores, juniors, and seniors. Did you know that you can take classes at Shasta College this summer without paying any tuition? Get a jump start in your college education, tackle that tough class, or get ready for transfer, all for just a registration fee of about $40. Save time and money. That's how Shasta College gives you more. Shasta College has more classes so you can graduate faster, more programs so you can choose your perfect career, more flexibility to work around your busy life, and more ways to graduate and transfer than ever before. Summer enrollment is happening now, and high school students and newly graduated seniors can attend Shasta College free during the summer. Just pay the $40 enrollment fee. We made it easier than ever to register. Go to shastacollege.edu/apply or call 242-7650. High-paying jobs are waiting for trained workers today, and Shasta College is here to help you advance your future. Choose more. Choose Shasta College. Enroll today at shastacollege.edu/apply.
Welcome back to Generations Talk Radio. I'm your host, Sharon Clark. We are here embracing aging. My guests in studio today have been Jennifer Powell, the Executive Director of Connected Living, and Stacey Wadley, the Senior Director of Operations, formerly Golden Umbrella and Shasta Senior Nutrition. I don't want to keep saying those because we don't want to keep branding that, but we do want to have people understand exactly that we are just a name change. That's all. Seamlessly to you out there, the programs are still going to come to you a little bit more internally seamless. We wanted to talk about the volunteer opportunities for you seniors out there, because I will say I've done a lot of research on the centenarians, and these are people that live to be 100. And one of the things that comes up every time is people who never fully retire, who continue being active in their community, who continue to be serving others. We do live a longer, healthier life. So if you have a little time on your hands and you want to get involved in our community, there are some great resources here at Senior Corps to do so. Who wants to chat about what they can do?
I will.
Okay.
This is Jennifer. So Senior Corps is an absolutely amazing program. People probably don't even know what Senior Corps means, because that's just kind of the umbrella over the foster grandparent, the RSVP, and the senior companion programs. So most people know them as those names. So let me just touch on each one. Foster grandparent, that's for all of these programs are for folks to volunteer who are 55 years and over. So foster grandparents go into the schools primarily and do some really touching, amazing work with children in the schools. Obviously, lots of background checks. The folks that volunteer for that program are really squeaky clean.
We want to vet them really well.
Not to imply others aren't, but that's certainly, you know, because they're going into schools. The senior companion, this is one of my favorite programs. It's when a senior, again, that they consider that 55 and older, and that seems awfully young.
It does when you're 48. Huh?
But so a senior who's 55 and older or older volunteers to be the companion of another senior. And that senior might be homebound, or maybe that senior needs to go to the grocery store or whatever, mm-hmm. or play cards at home, whatever is needed. But that program just touches my heart, you know, to your point of living mm-hmm. longer and the interaction and socialization. And then the RSVP is the Retired Senior Volunteer Program. And RSVP, it has a huge footprint in the North State. I will say it wrong, so I'm just going to say there's at least 5 counties in the North State that we cover through the RSVP program. And we have volunteers from retired CHP. We have folks from throughout all the different volunteer organizations can become a part of RSVP. And RSVP volunteers are the ones who deliver those meals up in the Bernie Basin area. Mm-hmm. So RSVP is much more broad and expansive in terms of opportunities to volunteer, whereas clearly the senior companion is a companionship program and foster grandparents in the schools.
And RSVP, they can say like, hey, I like to do administrative work. Here's my background,
yes,
and then you can kind of match them up with an agency that needs that
right
kind of
so,
experience.
Right. And also agencies that have their own volunteers can become a part of RSVP. They can become a site.
Mm-hmm.
Some of our volunteer programs have funding to assist with mileage. So, for example, for the seniors who are driving the Meals on Wheels mm-hmm. with folks up
we don't want them to have
area.
Too many out-of-pocket expenses.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's very it's helpful for them to help them with their gas and repairs expenses.
Awesome. Well, we'll take a call now. We have Lori on the line. Good morning, Lori.
Yes, good.
Whoa.
Whoops. Are you there?
Yep, I am. Can you hear me?
Oh, can. Yes.
Oh, so sorry. Good morning, everyone. Awesome. I'm actually on this registry list of caregivers with Connected Living. I think I'm in my almost fourth year, and I was hoping the list might possibly be available as an outreach to more of the medical health community. So many people still don't know about this list. It's very inexpensive. I think it's just $10 for, I don't know, it's 5 or 6 pages long. And when I do get calls from people, the elders or the adult children, they're exhausted going through this list trying to get the right people, who's in the zip codes. I was wondering if that could be an option as well. And then lastly, because I think IHHS lists zip codes with caregivers, and that kind of makes the driving part more coherent for people or easier financially, so
mm-hmm.
you don't have to have somebody driving from, you know, across town and so forth. And if there's, lastly, any way the caregivers that are on the list, is there any way we could have a meet and greet so I can know who these people are better, and then I can self-refer if I need a substitute or if I'm away? And otherwise, I have to end up calling 20, 30 people to find out who's, you know, kind of a similar
right.
person.
So
it's just feedback. I love being on this list, and I really appreciate this.
Yeah. So, Lori, Jennifer was having a little trouble hearing the beginning of your question, but I'm going to recap a little bit for her. Lori was saying mental health, to get this list out to more mental health folks that might need it, as well as if the registry could be listed by zip code, because when families are trying to find someone that they know which area that people are located in, the meet and greet would be great so that she knows other people she could refer to on the list. If she, and Lori, are you, am I right that some of you keep your names on there even if you're full and don't need clients?
My understanding is the list gets printed. I don't know if it's every month, but I'm looking at, I renew it once a year. Like we, I think it's every 2 years we renew and do the whole fingerprinting by the way and the driver's clearance check. I mean, there's a lot that has to be done just to make the list. And all we have is their phone number and their skill set, their name, and if they're private pay or if they'll do IHSS as well.
Okay.
So anyway, my thing is the people that I talk to are exhausted. I mean, they're just going through this list, you know, either alphabetically or in order. And by the time they get to some of us, they're just wiped out. And I'm hoping I could, like, expedite if this list had zip codes. And if I could meet a few people without me myself calling and pestering people, hey, my name's Lori, I'm on this list.
Mm-hmm.
Are you a cool person? Are you
great? Right.
And do you not smoke pot all day? Great. You know, just that's what I'm trying to say.
Lori, I think, thank you so much for calling in. We were actually talking about this very issue on the break. So this is Jennifer, and I wanted to address the fact that we are trying to get our registry to be online. So, yes, it would be great to be able to sort it. We can still work on the hard copy, like you were saying, to be able to sort it by zip code or perhaps some additional information, whether or not someone's been drug tested recently. So I think we're working towards that direction. We're also looking at expanding the geographical scope. So perhaps people into Hama County, because right now our registry is just Shasta County. So I think there's a lot of work we can do to improve the user experience, to make it more user-friendly for the registry.
Well, if you have a meet and greet, let me know, and I'll help volunteer to coordinate that. So thank you so much.
Thanks, Lori. Have a great day.
Thanks.
I think on that list, too, would be great maybe if, like, they're willing to do overnights, they're willing to do weekends, you know, just kind of maybe getting a little bit more specific so that families are calling. You know, if they want overnights for mom, are they comfortable with Alzheimer's or dementia, mobility issues? You know, then we really are kind of making it more specific so people are kind of making the calls that they need to make. So that's great feedback.
Yeah. Very helpful.
Priceless.
Yeah. Thank you, Lori. Thank you. Thanks so much. So back to the, we've got the registry, we've got the volunteer opportunities, and I will say the foster grandparent, I've had a few caregivers who have volunteered for that, and getting generations into schools, getting the wisdom of these, even grandfathers. I mean, I think it's not just women, but to get men that, you know, served in the war and have so much life experience, I think this generational, component,
right,
in our schools to do activities and be influential is amazing.
So I have to tell you one quick story. So every year we have recognition of the Senior Corps volunteers, and that recognition is actually coming up in May. But so last year, the children that were in the classrooms were able to nominate their foster grandparent for Volunteer of the Year, and they videoed these nominations.
Oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm.
I don't know if there was a dry eye in the house. I mean, it was so moving. To see, you know,
the impact
of that these seniors are having.
Well, as we're kind of wrapping up the hour, let's make sure we give out your website, any final thoughts, phone numbers for people that are listening that want to get on and kind of explore.
You know, I just wanted to mention really quickly before we wrap up that we're starting a new program this week called Active Choices. And it's basically a program to provide coaching and encouragement via the telephone. It's a six-month program to encourage seniors that are underactive to help them achieve whatever physical goals it is that they want. It's based on a study that was done out of Stanford, and they have identified this six-month program that works to
Mr. Smith,
that.
Did you walk around the block today? Whatever the goal was.
Was that they decided they wanted to achieve.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it could be getting up and walking the loop around the kitchen three times just to be more active. Accountability to that.
Exactly.
Awesome.
We've got some really great people that are really trained now to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So let me give out our email. Our website is connectedlivingnorthstate.org. So connectedlivingnorthstate.org. And our main phone number is 223-6034. Again, 530-223-6034. And that gets you to our reception area, and they will be able to forward your call to wherever it needs to go.
Yeah, so if you're interested in any of the meal programs, the volunteer opportunities, the registry, the adult day programs, the transportation, Boy, we've covered a lot, you guys.
Thank you. Thanks for letting us do it.
Oh, my gosh. It's been amazing. And, again, it's connectedlivingnorthstate.org. I found the website to be very user-friendly. I know they're still tweaking a few things and getting some stuff going, but I found it to be super friendly and great. So, again, we're here every Wednesday for Generations Talk Radio. I am Sharon Clark. And remember, do not regret growing older. It is a privilege denied to many. Have a great day.
You're listening to KCNR 1460, community talk radio for the North State. This is KCNR, Shasta, Redding.